We're going to try to have a quick class understanding the basics of the morning prayer structure and understanding when a person comes in late, what are the minimums? And we'll have to work in levels, meaning what happens when you have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, etc. Yeah.
Not just late, but what happens a lot that the shul davens very quickly.
Or if the shul davens quickly, yeah. So first, let's understand the makeup of what we're doing in the morning. If you look in the siddur, in the very beginning, you have blessings. You have the blessings that we thank God for all the basic functions we have. We thank God for having understanding. We thank God for making us Jewish, we thank God for making us male or female. We thank God for giving us the ability to see. We thank God for giving us clothing. We thank God for giving us the ability to stand, the ability to wake up, for giving us strength, etc. So those are the blessings, what's commonly known as Birkot HaShachar, the blessings of the morning. And included in those blessings are the blessings on the Torah. Now, most of those blessings are blessings of thanks. We thank God for giving us certain abilities. And therefore, one should say them in the morning. One could say them at home as he's getting dressed. Ideally, we don't make blessings as we're getting dressed. But a person could say these blessings when he's at home. He doesn't have to wait to come to shul if he knows he's running late. So these blessings, though, are meant to be said in the morning. A person is thanking God for giving him all these functions. But included in those blessings is the blessing of the Torah. And that blessing one must say before one begins quoting verses. And that's why that blessing should really precede our prayer, because in our prayer we're going to be quoting verses. All the other blessings should be said in the morning, also preceding our prayer. But worst comes to worst, we're going to discuss at greater length. Almost all of them can be said following the prayer as well. So that's the morning blessings. So we said, if one's in a rush, one could say them before he even comes to shul. And we also said that almost all of them, one could say after he has prayed. One should wash his hands and say al netilat yadayim. That you say right away in the morning. And the blessing on learning Torah, so also that one should make sure to say right away in the morning. The next stage of prayer, we have quotes from different sacrifices that were brought. That could be skipped. It's proper to say that, but one doesn't have to say that. And if you're going to say it, so say the minimum. Quote just the verse of the Korban Tamid. That's the minimum. You have more time, you could say other verses, other parts there, but that's really the minimum. But that could be skipped. Many people today skip that. I'd say most people skip that today. So the next section we come to is Psukei Dezimcha, which begins with Baruch Shamah. We have the blessing, Baruch Shamah Vaya Olam. Blessed is the one who said, and the world came to be when upon God say so. And that blessing is really an introduction to a series of verses and chapters which are going to be quoted in praise of God. And those verses and chapters are supposed to get us into the mood for prayer. They're supposed to make us feel closer to God, to recognize God's kindness and how God runs the world. And when we say those, we're supposed to be preparing our mindset to come before God in actual prayer. So we have a blessing preceding all these verses and chapters of verses. That's the blessing of Baruch Shamar. And we have a blessing that concludes the quotes of these different verses and chapters, and that is the blessing of Yishtabach. Ideally, one should say all the verses in between, but if one can't keep up with the shul, or one came late to shul, so one may cut down. He could say Baruch Shamar, and then say Ashrei, and then the first, the third, and the fifth hallelujah after Ashrei. Let's say he doesn't have that much time, so he could say Ashrei and just the third hallelujah following Ashrei. Let's say he has even less time, so he could say Baruch Shamar, Ashrei, and then Yishtabach. Let's say he sees that if he's going to take time to even say that, he's running really late, he's got to run. If he's going to take time to say that, he won't make it. So then we say, don't say Baruch Shamar and don't say Yishtabach. One. What?
You could finish it before the say Baruch. Or you could finish it before the.
Oh, so how do we decide what's important in Shul? So the main point of praying in Shul is saying Shmona Esrei with the congregation. That's the main point. And that's what a person should aspire for. If a person sees that by saying Baruch Shamar, Ashrei, and Yishtabach, he will not make the prayer with the congregation, by the time he gets to Shmona Esrei, the Chazan is going to be repeating it, or worse. He's not going to make it to the standing quiet prayer with the congregation. So then he should skip everything. He shouldn't say Baruch Shamar, Ashrei, or Yishtabach. He should begin with the blessings that precede and follow Shema, the blessing of Yotzer Or Vorei Choshech. Binyamin, are you with me? Yeah? Okay. So the main point of praying in Shul is getting that in, if you're praying at home. So then hopefully you have the time to say the minimum, to say at least Baruch Shamar, Ashrei, Yishtabach. But one cannot say Baruch Shamar or the blessing of Yishtabach without saying a minimum of Ashrei in between, because these are blessings that, what are we saying? This is a blessing that precedes the praises I'm going to give God. Well, if you're not going to give any praise, so how are you making the blessing that's supposed to precede the praise? And the same thing is true about Yishtabach. Yishtabach is a culminating blessing that's supposed to end the praises I give God. Well, if I didn't give praises beforehand, I can't say Yishtabach to end it. So one should not say Baruch Shamar or Yishtabach, and they go hand in hand, unless one has a praise in between. So the minimum we said is either Baruch Shamar, Ashrei, and Yishtabach, or not saying at all, going straight to the blessing of Yotzer Or. Baruch Atah Hashem, Lokeinu Melech HaOlam, Yotzer Or, Uvorei Choshech, etc. Now that one shouldn't skip, the blessings on Shema. Even if one is coming late to Shul and he sees that by saying that he won't make Shmona Esrei, he won't be able to get the prayer in with the crowd, one should still say the blessings of Shema, Yotzer Or, and then Ahavat Olam, Ahava Rabba, and Shema, and follow that through till Shmona Esrei. From there, we don't cut down. Let's say a person is working in a hospital, and he's got 3 minutes before he's on call again. So he won't have time. He's not even going to have time to say the blessings of Shema with Shema and Shmona Esrei. So then we have to know that he should say Shema without the blessings, because the blessings are by rabbinic order, and the Shema itself, that's a biblical mitzvah. So saying Shema is a mitzvah d'oraita. So he should say Shema in the morning.
Just the one line.
No.
The three parashiyot.
The three parashiyot. He should say Shema, and then he should say Shmona Esrei. Now, in Shmona Esrei, we also have a shorter version of Shmona Esrei. This guy who has 3 minutes, and there are times in life when a person really only has 3 minutes. My wife went into labor 2 of the 3 times in the morning. So the first time I got to Davin, we were able to see how far apart the contractions were. So I went to shul. Her labor started at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't have my Tassin Tilmid, or in yeshiva. But we could see by the contractions that I could make it, so which you can't always see. But we knew we had a handle on it, and we weren't going to go to the hospital. When I got home, we had time for breakfast and to prepare our bags. We saw we had time, and worst comes to worst, I had a cell phone. I was 2 minutes away. But then we had the last birth where we couldn't tell. We didn't know how much time we had. And I hadn't done Shacharis. So I took my Tassin Tefillin with me, and we go to the hospital. Now, when they take you to the hospital, here they take the woman in to be examined, and you have to stay outside. And at any given moment, I could be called to go in and be with her. Now, she's a yoledet. She's a woman that's giving birth. Halachically, that's a person in danger, and you have to be by your side. We say on Shabbos, if she says, I need light, you turn on the light for her. Let's say she's blind, and she says, yeah, but I need light. Why does she need light? Because she'll be calmer. She'll be giving birth in a better state. if there's light around and she knows that people are helping her have light, so the halacha says even on Shabbos you light a candle for her. So a woman that's giving birth is considered a woman in danger. And obviously a woman wants her husband there, that's going to calm her down. So I can't walk down, even though it's one flight down to the shul, I can't do that now. So I was standing there with my tefillin waiting. And our daughter was born like 20 minutes before the end of the time for Shmona Esrei. Right after that, I put on my towels and my tefillin and stood there right next to the delivery room, stood in the hallway, and I couldn't do anything else. At like 6 o'clock, we were all the time, we didn't know when it would be. So sometimes a person could be in a situation where he's not going to be able to say Shema and the blessings of Shema. So in that situation that I was in, I was able to say the blessings of Shema. I was able to say all the prayer. I just couldn't stand there in Shmona Esrei, but I could say everything else. So I did. And if a person sees, like a guy who's he's an EMT or a doctor and he's only going to have 3 minutes, so then he should say the blessings on learning Torah, Shema, and Shmona Esrei. Now there is a short version of Shmona Esrei, which goes pretty much as follows. The first three blessings are normal, that we don't say, we don't do any less than the first three and the last three. And in the middle, so one could shorten the middle blessings. Either there is a prayer of Havinenu, which is a prayer our sages compiled that summarizes the Shmona Esrei, and it's printed in many Sidurim together with different blessings. You say the first three blessings, and then you say one paragraph, which is a summary of the 18 of the other blessings, and then you end with the last three blessings. That is the prayer of Havinenu. Or, what's preferable, if one could do it, you have it over there.
What
here.
What is it,
Havinenu? Havinenu. Rinat Yisrael Siddur, it's on page 109. So you say the first three blessings and then this one short paragraph. Havinenu Hashem ken ladat arkecha umot levaven yiratecha, etc. Vokta Hashem shomea tefila, and then you say the last three blessings. You have all, and that's how a person gets all of them in. Now today, I've never heard of anyone saying that. It's pretty much become the custom that people don't say that. But one could, if one needs to rely on saying that. One could say that. I have relatives who are in the army. They don't have more than 3 minutes where they could go off the post sometimes. They're there all morning, sometimes all night and all morning. So they're not going to make it to say Shmona Esrei within the first 3 hours of the day unless they could find a short version. So then, if they have to, they could say Avinenu, but it's preferable to do a short version of each blessing. Atachonin Adam Dat. Okay, over there it's hard to make it short. But let's say the blessing of Refainu. Refeinu Hashem Nerafe, you say the first 3-4 words of the blessing, and then the last 3-4 words. Kikel melech ofeinu man rahmanata, bochta Hashem, ofeichu neamo Yisrael. Barech aleinu Hashem ken tashana hazot, uvarech shnateinu kashanim atovot, bochta Hashem varech hashanim, etc.
So it's like always till the first comer, and then like from
the last comer, yeah.
Okay.
So that's another way of shortening the Shmona Esrei. Now, one shouldn't do this ideally. We're talking about a person who's in a very, very, very tight situation. But when one must, one could. So again, we said that one could postpone most of the blessings that are in the morning for after Shmona Esrei, but ideally one doesn't. It's better to say them at home. We said that in the Psukei de Zimra, the minimum is Baruch Shamar Ashrei and then Nishtabach, and if one can't manage that, then he could skip Psukei de Zimra. The blessings on Shema, we said ideally one should not skip, but if one's in a tight situation, he could skip them and just say Shema. And Shmona Esrei, so the ideal is to get Shmona Esrei with the crowd, and if one is praying alone or there's no way he can make the full Shmona Esrei, so we said there are different shorter versions of Shmona Esrei. The better one is summarizing, doing like the first sentence and last sentence, or the first half a sentence and last half a sentence of each blessing, and then ending with the blessing. What?
Shaka.
Yeah. And the other option is saying the special prayer of Havinenu. And the things after Shmona Esrei, so whatever one could get in is preferable. You should know that we say Ashrei after Shmona Esrei. And the Ashrei that's after Shmona Esrei, so that's part of a more general institution, that one should say Ashrei 3 times a day. The Gemara says whoever says Ashrei 3 times a day will merit the world to come. So we always try to get in Ashrei 3 times a day, and Ashrei most people know by heart. So even if you have to run out of shul early, so on your way, try to say Ashrei again.
How about Mubadid Shem? How fundamental is that? I mean, how, I mean, if you have no time, if you have time, obviously you should do it, but if you don't have time, is it part of
It's not like Shmona Esrei, so we said that you should try to get it in, and worst comes to worst, say it by the time you know it by heart, so you'll say it on your way.
In the second paragraph of Mubadid Shem,
I don't know which what you're referring to.
Well, it's done, and right after this, I think it's in the morning.
We're going to have a fuller class on the prayer. But in outline form, I think we covered it, yeah?
So Tachanun is like the least important.
No, so Tachanun, you should know, is very, very important. The Gemara says that there was a time when our sages had an argument with one of the sages, with Rabbi Eliezer, and the argument evolved and evolved. There was halachic dispute, and eventually it reached a point where Rabbi Lezer was discommunicated. Our sages agreed that he went too far, and even though he was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, they excommunicated him. And that's a halachic stance that a court could take. They could decide that this person is halachically excommunicated till he gives in. And the court's allowed to say that. And Rabbi Lezer said, this is the tradition I have, this is the halacha, I'm not giving in. And for the rest of his days, he lived alone. And all the Chachamim, even those who excommunicated him, could have been his disciples. Afterwards, they all said, how much Torah did we lose? Because we didn't go and learn by him. But the Gemara records that obviously it pained him a lot. And the chief rabbi, he was the one who was in charge when they excommunicated Rabbi Lezer, his sister was married to Rabbi Lezer. And his sister knew, Rabbi Lezer's wife, that her husband was a very big Talmud Chacham and a very pious person. And she was concerned for her family. She knew that he is being pained by her brother. Her brother halachically held that this is what her husband deserves, but nonetheless, she was concerned for her family. So what she did was every time he finished Shmona Esrei, she'd walk in and bother him. She was concerned that he shouldn't get the Tachanun to putting his head down, the prayer where he put his head down right after Shmona Esrei. And one day she was in the market and she was being detained. And by the time she got home, he had said Tachanun. And she said, uh-oh, now I know something bad happened in the family. And that day, a relative died. Someone in Rabbi Gamliel's family died. So we see over there, our sages stress in many different areas, the power of Tachanun. The power of Tachanun is when one directly following Shmona Esrei puts his head down in a sort of weeping prayer to Hashem. Those of you who were here till the end last night, the chapter we learned in Tehillim last night is the chapter of Tachanun. The chapter 6, L'chum mechanun chatat lefanecha. Yeah, right? I think so. Yeah.
I'm smart, like I'm smart, so we don't put our head down, but it's the same tahana.
Same thing, yeah, same tahana. There's differences, but it's the same concept. So again, tahanun is something which one could forgo, but one shouldn't forgo. We're talking about one of the most powerful prayers, which includes a prayer about health. The chapter which we're saying in tahanun is really a chapter where we're praying about enemies falling, and we're praying about us or whoever is close to us, or the Jewish people, being healed. And that's why we mentioned last night, there are different understandings. Is it about being healed from physical sickness? Is it about being healed from the state of being in galut? But that's what we're praying for. Yeah.
Can you say, I daven Sfaradi, but right next to my house is a Hasidish shtuba. So every minute they never have tafen and mincha, because I was like daven, I don't know, it's not after shtia, but I don't know why they don't have tafen.
So the rule is,
can I say myself after, or do I have to?
There are opinions that say you could, there are opinions that say you can't. The idea is basically that when you're in a congregation, we try not to do things that stick out, that people will notice you're doing something different. But this, there are rabbis that are so against this that they say it's not even a custom. It has no halachic legitimacy in some rabbis' opinions. And that's why they say this you could go against. There were big rabbis who were in shuls where they... like Nusach Sfarad, and they just wanted to delay the Tachanun. Not Sfaradim. Yeah. Sfaradim have a tradition. But Hasidim were Nusach Sfarad. So there were big Ashkenazi rabbis who they sat down, they put their head down right after Shmona Esrei. Someone came to the rabbi and he said, look, you wrote in your own responsa that you can't sit in a shul and do something that the congregation will see you doing different than their custom. So his response was, that's when there's a custom. And he held that what they were doing had no halachic basis to be called a custom. The fact that the whole shul was doing it was a different thing. As far as not saying tachanun, so yeah, there are shuls that purposely, over here in the neighborhood also, they purposely, they daven mincha late, and then for some reason they decide not to say tachanun. And it's, even if it were by shkia, the Mishnah Berurah says that in by shkia, by ben hashmashot, you do say. But they don't even get it by shkia. When I've davened there.
So I'm saying, can I daven aleinu finishing and go home and daven?
Say tachanun? You could, but you've had a pause between your Shmona Esrei and tachanun. Ideally, we try not to pause. That's what Rav Lezer's wife did. She always made a break. People who speak in their prayer or who do things in between their prayer and tachanun, they don't realize they're missing out on the power that they could have with tachanun. When one says tachanun at home, or not in a shul where there's a Sefer Torah, or today we're even more lenient, we say it's enough just to have Sfarim in the room. But if you say tachanun in your private domains, so then we don't put our head down.
So is it wrong to say tachanun immediately after the shul?
Depends on your custom. Some have the custom to say it immediately after, and some, the Sfaradim, have the custom on Monday and Thursday, that they have a whole long, they say the Vahu Rachum, and then at the end of that they say Tachanun. So that's legitimate, that's a custom, that's their tradition.
Just to understand why then in the family, story that you told us, why one relative of the family died then, after he put down his head and...
Because we're talking about not legitimate pauses in between Shmona Esrei and Tachanun. If that's part of the prayer, if the Vehu Rachum is instituted, that you have Shmona Esrei, and on Monday and Thursday you say Vehu Rachum, and interjected in the end of the Vehu Rachum is the Tachanun, then that doesn't constitute a pause. We say whatever is correct, whatever you should be saying, so that's not a pause. Yeah? Ideally, we try not to pause between Shmona Esrei and the Tachanun. Now, let's say you have to run out of shul. So what you could do is say tachanun before the congregation hits it. Meaning, if you're going to have to run out right at the end of Shmona Esrei, so you could say tachanun even though they're not there yet. And if you're going to have to run out of shul, so ideally a person should try to be there to say kedusha with them. If you could get in kaddish, that's also very good. If you could get in... the blessing of Shomea Tefillah, right before Ritzeh, to say Amen to that by the Chazan, it's also worth a lot. Saying Amen after the blessing Hakel HaKadosh, at the end of the Kedusha, that's also, the Gemara says, that's something that a person should strive for. We're talking about when a person has to run out of shul early. Ideally, you should try to get Birkat Kohanim. If you could leave after you say the Kaddish of Uva LeTzion, It's also very good, but all these are, we're working our way up. The more you could say, you know, that these are marks where if you could get this point in, that's it's worth staying another few seconds to catch this. If you could get this in as well, that's worth even more. And ideally, you should know, if people develop customs. If people are used to running out of shul early, then their whole life they're going to run out of shul early. There are always reasons to run out early, and there are always reasons to come in late. If people get accustomed to coming in early and learning something before the prayer, and staying after prayer to learn something, then they'll, most of their lives they're going to be able to do that. It's very easy to run into situations where I gotta go, and then people always have to go. And you'll notice that there are people like that. In every shul there are the people who are always running out. What is it? His job is earlier than everyone else's. He's got a longer commute, possibly. Could be. Could be, yeah. Could be.
Now, something that happens a lot is that I'm in the middle of finishing a prayer and then it's on Kaddish. Am I supposed to stop where I am and answer to the names? All of them?
Which prayer are you in the middle of?
So it usually happens, let's say I was Kaddish of, let's say I'm Sukkot Zimra and they're already at Baraka.
So in Pesukei Dezimra you could answer Kaddish in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra.
And a lot happens that I always like after the Rachav the Tita Machtorat, so I'm always like they always the Ashkenazim is a bit faster and I'm still reading like we have a it's a little longer but plus I read it a little slower and then they're always saying Kaddish before Alena. I'm always still on that. You could
answer Kaddish.
No, but I'm saying, but I would rather continue just praying on my own level, but should I stop?
So then, you could stop only to answer Yehi Shmei Rabbah. You could do that. If it doesn't bother you too much, then it might pay to stop till Taman Bar Ma and then answer Amin. But if you see that that's going to get on your nerves, so at this stage of the game, it's more important that you develop your skills. Later on, you'll be saying with everyone.
Because I also heard that Aleinu is very important to say it together.
Aleinu, because we don't want to be seen like everyone else is saying, we all have to praise God, and you're standing there and you're not. So if you can't join them, if you're in the middle of something else, at least bow down as though you're saying with them. No one has to know what you're saying. The idea is that someone who's looking is saying, the whole crowd is saying, we want to praise God, and you're standing out, what's the deal? Same thing as with Shema. Everyone else is saying, "Hear, O Israel, Hashem is one." And you don't believe in that? So that's why some people, depending on where they're holding in the prayer, will stop what they're saying, and they'll say Shema Yisrael at least to join the crowd with that. And if you can't, because you're in a part of prayer where you can't do that, so at least put your hands on your eyes, no one has to know what you're saying. At least you look like you're doing what the congregation is doing. Very nice.
What is that? Aleinu l'shabbat starts with an ayin, ends with a dalet. So does al kendik of it. Starts with an ayin, ends with a dalet. Two witnesses.
No.